Gonna talk about this week in wrestling, cause it was terrible unless it was great. This is Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, it's TLP.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, the only podcast that is one generation removed from a bone in the nose. This is episode 136. I am your host, as always, Poit, and joining me on the panel to discuss the week in WWE, we have Jabba.
Hello there, Mr. Poit, and TLP Universe.
Why, hello. And Zevon.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say some crap and push some people to get me arrested. Let me be right back.
All right, can you wait until after the podcast to do it? It would be grossly irresponsible to do such a thing during a live broadcast.
But that's what happens on TV. You never know. Like, people get arrested, and it's...
This is not television. This is YouTube.
Well, if you want to go ahead and do that, that is fine, because we have actually dispatched our ace news reporter, Nowhere Man, to go and just hang out by the various local police precincts around the US of A in case one of you decides to get arrested for some kind of slur tonight, which is why he's not here.
That seems incredibly inefficient.
That's the name of the game, sadly.
Why?
It's just how we roll.
All right, then.
So, Mr. Poit, I believe you're going to be filling the sizable boots of the news here, man.
I will attempt to be newsman right here for a moment. Let's see. Last week, WWE informed their wrestlers they will begin random checks for to make sure that they have personal medical insurance. For the past 4.5 years or so, WWE has required that their wrestlers maintain their own private personal health insurance, but apparently that hasn't really been a thing that was actually enforced until now, and they're going to be doing random checks of that.
I wonder if someone like threatened to sue them.
Random checks for health insurance. That seems like something you should just have in a big file, all your employees' like health coverage details.
They're apparently going to be doing checks to make sure that the talent actually does have the health insurance that they claim to have. Like, they do have, like, on file the health insurance that each wrestler claims to have.
They're probably just doing it so that way they can literally, like, take and, instead of paying for everything themselves, just take and start charging their insurance to save money.
No, to my understanding, WWE will continue covering things such as injuries sustained during matches or during training or whatever. And this is, you know,
I'm
for
sure
like getting sick.
So is this? Let's just, as a random example, Dean Ambrose comes down with, let's say, throat cancer, as an example.
One throat cancer.
So what would happen as of right now if he was not privately insured?
He'd be effed.
Yeah.
And the WWE would be in no way responsible as his employer.
Correct.
Technically, because they're considered independent contractors when they sign their contracts, they basically waive their right to doing that mm-hmm. part of the contract.
All right, then. It's probably a good thing that they're going to be keeping an eye on that, then. And are there any details on whether there's going to be some kind of punishment for those who don't have it?
I don't know. I mean... I would guess it would be something like a wellness policy strike, but the article did not give any such details.
Well, we'll have to keep a close eye on that one, won't we?
Alright. Also, last week, the New York Times published an article about professional wrestlers in Hollywood. In particular, it focused on wrestlers such as Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and Edge. In particular,
a pretty big one.
Oh, and The Rock, yes.
Okay, if they didn't say something, I would be like, "What the hell?"
In fact, recently John Cena was in some Tina Fey movie wherein he played a drug dealer, and he enjoyed the role because it was a nice break from being a good guy on weekly television.
Good for him. Sometimes you gotta deal some
getting back to his roots.
He also said that he did not consider action movies to be a good fit because of how incredibly scripted and choreographed everything is.
What?
I see. So he prefers having to go out there and actually work for a longer period of time without just the stops and pausing and then going over each punch from different angles and things like that.
Apparently. So he didn't like the Marine is basically what he's saying.
Yes. He also, Tina Fey said that Cena was a, quote, wonderful surprise in that how fantastically funny of an improviser he is.
Now,
I would give him that.
Would anyone ever describe John Cena as a wonderful surprise?
Apparently Tina faded.
Would any of us ever describe him as a wonderful surprise?
I would actually consider the entire U.S. Open Challenge thing to be a wonderful surprise.
Kind of agree with that.
Did it continue to be a surprise after the first three or four?
I mean, no. It was more that the highlight of the show was John Cena, and that was a thing that we would not expect.
Okay, I suppose if you're a dying child, then John Cena's a wonderful surprise.
Oh, God.
I'll give him that one as
well.
Why
would you want to see him if you were dying?
Something else from the article, which I found was interesting, is apparently Edge did not take his first acting class until after his first appearance on Haven. I thought it was interesting that all this time on WWE, he had never, taken any acting classes.
Well, he was pretty charismatic. I don't think he was someone. It was more of a natural, him and Christian's play off each other. So I can see that. I mean, if you have a friend, think about it this way. If you're super close to someone, it'll be easier for you to play off them than some random person. So I'm sure it's probably something they've been doing for years anyway, so he's super comfortable with it. Yeah. At least I would think.
If you're just being an extension of yourself on TV, then you don't necessarily need acting ability as such.
Exactly. Which apparently that was a big thing with their randomness and quote-unquote dorkiness that they used to have together.
Other news for the week. On Monday, The Rock confirmed that he will be at WrestleMania 32. So... Yeah.
As the guest host. Aw, crap. Nobody cares.
Did he actually say that he's just going to be a host?
No, they clearly did not have that marked or put... He didn't say one way or the other, no matter what. He basically said he'd be
It is currently unknown whether or not The Rock will actually be wrestling or if he'll just be, sitting in the front row.
Well... He could be a special referee for somebody's match. What's the lowest level of Rock participation that you would find worthy of such hype?
Well, I mean, how about guest timekeeper?
If he was a guest timekeeper for the entire show, then yes.
You know what would be awesome is if he did commentary for the entire show. I could listen to that man talk a bunch of crap for about 4 hours. That'd be hilarious.
Sure.
Instead of who?
Instead of JR. Take Cole out, too. No one likes him.
JR hasn't been on the show for quite a while.
Well, I'm just saying, he normally does, every once in a blue moon, he did those, random appearances. I just, have him do a random appearance for, two or three matches.
So who would you have as the commentary team, then, alongside The Rock?
If I had a choice?
It has to be two other people.
Corey Graves and JBL.
I'm going to say Michael Cole and Renee Young.
I think on the roster, sadly, there's nobody else that really does the job that Michael Cole does, which is something that they require in their commentary teams, and no one else really does it in his particular style. So I think he has to be one of them.
Also, I think in terms of speaking segments, Michael Cole and The Rock are have a whole lot of experience together.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, The Rock did make fun of a lot of backstage interviewers and commentators back in the day.
Oh, poor Kevin Kelly.
Poor coach. Do we have any other news nuggets?
Yes, there are a few more. NXT added a second live show in Chicago on January 16th after the first show sold out in a minute. The second show, however, took an entire half hour to sell out.
Damn. That's a lot of time.
Well, how far in advance are we of those shows?
What's that?
when are those shows taking place?
January 16th is the second one. I'm not sure when the first one is.
And are either of those a special, or are they just regular episodes?
I think they're just I think they might just be house shows.
House shows only.
I thought so.
If they sell out, if they're selling out house shows in a minute, that's a pretty good statement, I suppose.
I think Wehrman might have reported on the 1 minute sellout last week, but it's possible that one is a taping in Chicago. But I would assume that the second one would be a house show.
By the way, the 1 minute sellout would be a great nickname.
The 1 minute sellout. Only took Seth Rollins 1 minute to decide to sell out.
That would be really good for a return double. Like, if they want him to get more heat when he comes back, just have him, like, go face for a minute and then turn and beat the crap out of everybody. That'd be awesome.
I'm pretty sure during a comeback, Chris Benoit once did that. Came back and he was face for literally about a minute and then turned heel again.
I think Sheamus did that on his current run.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did that, wasn't it, to Dolph Ziggler, and he just beat the heck out of him?
I think so. And the crowd started chanting, "You look stupid," and that was the start of that.
Well, to be fair.
Yes. As previously reported, Nikki Bella is out of action with bulging discs in her neck, and she is trying to recover from that injury purely through rehab rather than getting surgery. However, she has since not had any progress in recovery, as reported by Pro Wrestling Sheet, and she has been instructed to have another 7 weeks of rehab before she'll get another MRI, and if she still has no improvement, she will be, quote, forced to discuss surgery options.
Well,
essentially she's Daniel Bryan.
In addition, apparently the cause of Nikki Bella's injury is her finisher, the Rack Attack.
Well, on behalf of TLP, Nikki Bella, take all the time you need.
Gosh.
We don't want you rushing back now. Hurting yourself again.
Let's see. Moving on to this week's Raw, Sin Cara had his shoulder dislocated during his match with Big E. According to the WWE doctor, his shoulder was popped back into place, and he continued the match.
Now, when they say dislocated, does that mean it's the kind of dislocation where he can just carry on wrestling next week, or was there some kind of damage to the surrounding ligaments and whatnot?
Like, I saw a picture of Sin Cara backstage with a very iced shoulder, but I do not know if this will be a lasting injury or not.
So I know there are some athletes who have a problem where their shoulder dislocates a lot, and you can just pop it back in and they just carry on like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And then some people, it's more of a serious issue.
Yeah.
So if he's going to be out for a little while, though, that would suggest that while Kalisto is hot on the heels of his OMG moment of the year slammy win, that would be a good time to pluck him from the tag division and give him a little bit of a push.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, even though we don't have Wehrman here to give these numbers context, I do have the viewer numbers for Monday's Raw. Raw had an average audience of 3.54 million viewers compared to last week's 3.37 million. So it's up almost 200,000 from last week. The first hour had almost 3.7 million viewers, with around 3.4, 3.5 million viewers for the second 2 hours. The average rating for the show was a 1.21. It should be noted, however, that Monday Night Football had almost five times as many viewers.
But did Monday Night Football have the return of John Cena? Didn't think so.
What was his name, Jabba?
His name is John Cena.
Okay, just checking.
Is that it for news?
Yes, that is it for the news.
Well, with that, I'm going to set a course for the Talking Point Quadrant. And
All right. Our
first stop. So, Roman Reigns, we were complaining that he was kind of Bugs Bunny-esque in his handling of the authority, a bit of a cheeky prankster. He didn't seem to do a whole lot this week, but the people around him seem to be driven insane just by his very presence, the McMahons in particular.
Mm-hmm. I did very much enjoy just Roman Reigns like sidling in with a microphone and holding it up in front of the rent-a-cop as he was arresting Vince McMahon.
That was actually pretty funny. But that was like the first time you've seen anything that allows him to like really be himself, and you could tell with Vince out there, he wasn't going to get reamed because it added to the moment. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain that. You just figure if you do something off script when he's back there, you're going to get an earful. This one, probably not.
Now, the town they were in traditionally would be a fairly hostile crowd against people that are shoved down our throats, if you will. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Generally, yes. However, the crowds in general seem to have warmed up to Roman Reigns over the past couple of weeks.
They have. There wasn't a huge amount of negativity towards him from the audience. There was a little bit at various points. But is this actually working, then, their tactic of having the McMahons go nuts over this guy and just become really angry? Because the hatred that people have towards them, if they channel that heat into a positive light shining onto Roman Reigns, it seems to be working quite a bit.
I actually don't think it was so much the the talking segments with the McMahons that has caused the crowd to warm up to Reigns. I think it was the spear to Triple H, as well as Reigns just finally just like getting the title, no shenanigans. He is champion, and we have now moved on from the constant week after week. How can Roman Reigns possibly overcome the odds?
That's probably fair. But the whole he is the guy that's overcoming the authority thing that's been used on other guys before. But they're really pulling out all the stops is what I'm getting at, to make sure Roman Reigns gets over and stays over. You didn't have Vince McMahon coming back for other people.
That's true. That is very
putting on that kind of performance.
Taking a Superman punch off the apron.
Yep, that allegedly required dental surgery.
Well, he is a 70-year-old man.
He yep. is. I mean, the last time he was physically involved in the show like that, would that have been when he was F5'd by Brock Lesnar and then had to have a hip replacement?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. That was, what, like almost a year and a half ago?
It's a very select group of people that get to physically interact with Vince McMahon nowadays. So,
and they were both in the main event of this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. However, we have also made the observation in the past that anyone else but Roman Reigns would be more interesting in the role that he's in currently.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that still a fair criticism?
I don't know.
I really think this is one of those things that if, say, he were given the mic without a script written for him, I think he'd have a lot better of a chance to get over.
Yes. At least this week, he was able to avoid any testicular food references.
Yes.
He was. There are no tater tots, no shriveled prunes in sight this week, thankfully. So, moving on. Now, it's not moving on too far, but Vince McMahon, in that whole opening segment, he gave some incredibly racist, controversial comments towards Roman Reigns. However, does it make it okay that he immediately got his comeuppance on the show?
I don't think so. I don't. They've never needed it before. Why do they need it now? It stinks almost of desperation to me.
Also, his comeuppance had nothing to do with the awful things he said.
Yes. That is fair. But was it just another way of name-dropping members of his family in there?
I mean, honestly, I had forgotten, which wrestler his father was and such.
I knew it was one of the Wild Samoans. I wasn't sure which one.
Well, apparently it was the one who was paid peanuts and was, bled for everything he was worth or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, with the heels getting their comeuppance after this kind of thing, obviously a notable example where someone never got their comeuppance was Triple H. and his controversial comments towards Booker T in the lead-up to their WrestleMania match.
Oh, gosh.
Saying things, paraphrasing, but it was something like, people like you shouldn't be champion.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. And then he went and just beat him. So, you're treading a fine line when you inject this kind of thing into the storyline. Is that what, are they just trying to drum up controversy? Or controversy?
Yeah, thank you for saying it correctly, Jabba.
I don't know. I think it's desperate.
You think it's just Vince being Vince?
Could be.
Racist old guy. That's a thing.
Yeah, if he's playing the role of racist old guy on TV now, we can get behind that, I think, if it's a character. And he's going to get punched in the face every now and then.
I mean, come on, he's Vince McMahon, damn it.
Now, speaking of Vince McMahon, damn it, he had 15 minutes or so to be arrested. And then Neville and Kevin Owens were given 15 seconds for a match.
That's why the ratings are so good.
Now, this would have been more poignant were it not for a Divas match getting about 20 minutes later on in the show.
To be fair, it was a good Divas match.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
But the fact that Neville and Owens only got 15 seconds, and then it's not like it was setting something up for the future, because Owens has immediately moved on to another feud as soon as the match was over.
I actually am not so sure about that.
You sure? Because he completely crushed Neville, and then he was interacting with Ambrose the rest of the show.
I feel like this is going to lead to some sort of multi-man title match at the Rumble.
Well, maybe, but does it actually do anything for Neville to win a match in that kind of quick fashion and then just be beaten up for a period of time that was around about 8 times longer than the match itself?
It gives him a reason to come back next week.
Mm-hmm.
But does it get him over to watch him being beaten up?
In general, I would say that Neville would be thought to be below the level of Kevin Owens, and getting a win over Owens can elevate him, even if it is just a quick roll-up win.
Wouldn't it have done a lot more if it had been a competitive back-and-forth match?
Yes, however, I think that if this is a feud that will continue, then mm-hmm. Neville's win after a long competitive match needs to happen later on in the feud, possibly a pay-per-view.
There's definitely a case to be made that that's a good way to start it, because they have had a lot of matches that get a lot of time but don't really have any consequences at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is them correcting that a little bit, having a match that does have tangible storyline implications but doesn't get much time.
Precisely.
Okay. So, speaking of mingling, as Kevin Owens and Ambrose were mingling on the show, the mid-card seemed to be intermingling and cross-pollinating a lot, shall we say?
Yes, I am very much liking it. So, Kevin Owens is feuding with Neville, as well as Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, along with Roman Reigns and the Usos, are feuding with the League of Nations.
And apparently John Cena.
Yes, the Usos are also feuding with the New Day, who are also feuding with the Lucha Dragons. A member of the League of Nations, Alberto Del Rio, is also feuding with John Cena.
I will call you out on one thing there. The one mistake you made was that you called them the Lucha Dragons rather than the Lucha Booty.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, so who is benefiting the most from this? I would say probably the New Day, because they're getting a lot of time on the show, typically.
They've already been getting a lot of time. I'd say giving some of the time to the teams that haven't been getting anything. Really.
I
enjoy their time on the show, but
I don't think we really need to call out a particular person or team that is getting the most benefit out of this. I think just in general, this is benefiting everyone, because these interconnected stories, it's actually ongoing stories that seem to have meaning.
I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago that we would have an entire episode that was just completely disconnected matches and then you'd have the same disconnected matches on SmackDown, and then again on Raw, and on SmackDown again for
those were called go-home shows before pay-per-views.
Okay, yeah, that could be it. We've got one of those coming up in a little while, though, so don't worry. Okay, then. Now, something that was starting out in a really entertaining fashion, oddly enough, was Miz TV. If you were to pick the elements that aren't used enough on Monday Night Raw and slot them all into a segment, that's pretty much how Miz TV was going until Big Show's music hit. And that completely crushed the whole thing.
I see, literally. Before we start talking about the Big Show inserting himself into that segment, are any of you getting sick of R-Truth's whole my bad thing?
I just don't get what's going on. They haven't addressed that in, like, what, a year?
But it's been certainly less than that. He's done it a couple times this year. But, you know, he just won a Slammy for it last week, so he's got to do it again.
Yes. Obviously, people voted for it because they thought it was funny, so that means he should do more of it in terms of the management's view.
And he should do it a week after getting a Slammy for it, apparently.
Yes, if he does it every week and they come up with creative ways to work it in there, then okay. But depending how strained it becomes, that'll determine the entertainment value.
I don't know. They're already like running out of ways to have Kofi Kingston not get eliminated from Battle Royals. So I don't know if the writing team has it in them to come up with new ways to do this R-Truth joke every week.
I'm sure they've got a couple more weeks in them. I'll give them that much credit. And I think Kofi's definitely got a few Royal Rumble survival techniques that he hasn't used yet.
Probably.
Maybe something involving a trombone.
Oh my god.
If he somehow used the trombone to pogo stick across the floor.
That would be so amazing.
Or if he catches like a ride back to the ring on Big E's booty.
He's already ridden Big E back to the ring in a previous Battle Royale. I think it was
not, not on his butt, though.
Okay, not on his butt. You are correct.
Directly on said booty.
Yes. Well, so what about Big Show ruining that segment then? Because it looked like it was going to be something really interesting. Thought, well, are we actually going to get a match here with the likes of Goldust and Zack Ryder and Heath Slater? And then, oh no, of course we're not. These are all just punching bags that came out to set themselves up for the Big Show to knock them out.
Though R-Truth knocking himself out to spare himself an actual KO punch was kind of funny.
Yeah, and then when he was kind of looking up like...
Did it work?
Yeah, that was quite funny.
So, I mean, you know, this is the setup. Big Show announcing himself as being entrant number one in the Royal Rumble. Because, you know, obviously that'll work out well for him.
Yeah, there's no chance Big Show's ever winning a Royal Rumble.
What I hope this is going to lead to is that Ryback will be like will be somewhere in like the 2-5 range and will eliminate Big Show early. And then Ryback will go on a big tear through the Rumble.
Are we sick of Ryback versus Big Show, though, in general?
It's happened too many times, but I feel like things that have happened too many times get a pass to go again in the Rumble match itself.
Yeah.
How many weeks have we got to go until Rumble time?
I don't know, 4? Let me check.
Yeah, it's the
24th. That's a long time for a Ryback versus Big Show feud of them walking out the matches and getting counted out. And I'm not looking forward to it. There's going to be a segment on every single episode of Raw that I'm dreading. Up until the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble is in 3.5 weeks.
I think that's too long.
Ben, early prediction on who you think will win? How about this? Think of who you would want to win and who you think will realistically win.
I think a Kevin Owens win would be interesting.
I also like that.
I think a Bray Wyatt win would be very interesting.
Oh.
He wasn't actually on Raw, was he?
He wasn't.
Nah.
Which was odd. But I think, sadly, John Cena is still chasing down that record of Ric Flair's. and he's back, and there was a slight boost in viewership on the episode in which he returned.
But there was a drop in viewership for his match.
Yeah, but they just tuned in because they heard he was going to be on that episode.
He's already on the promotional cover for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, Owen Brown just commented, 99.99% chance Jern wins.
Yeah. It sounds like the TLP is rooting for some sort of large bearded man to win the Rumble.
Yes, and not not a somewhat large, clean-shaven man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With rapid recovery powers when it comes to injury. You don't want anyone like that to win.
It is somewhat superhuman.
So, I would like Kevin Owens to win, but I think it's going to be something stupid like Sheamus.
Imagine if Sheamus won. After they wasted Money in the Bank on him. And they've forgotten all about Sheamus 515 already.
So what he's going to do is he's going to lose a match for the title, come back and win the Royal Rumble.
And then lose at Mania.
And lose at Mania, too.
Oh my gosh. If we have Sheamus and Reigns again at WrestleMania,
that would just be awful. Can it be the opposite of the, Daniel Bryan Sheamus match? Can it just be Roman Reigns coming through the crowd, spearing him, and then leaving?
In 18 seconds.
What about returning Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble? That would be pretty sweet.
That would be awesome, but I don't think they'd let him do
also,
that.
Also, we're almost in Brock Lesnar season. I'm sure...
Yes, the Lesnar is getting close to being ripe on the tree.
Yes, so if Paul Heyman thinks that it's time to pluck his client and insert him into the main event scene, the Royal Rumble could be the time to do it. Coming in at number, let's say, 23, so he doesn't have too much work to do that night. Plowing through everyone who's in there.
They'll pull a Curtis Axel, sit outside the ring until, like, number 28. Just never enter the ring.
I'm not being paid to actually be in the ring. I'm being paid to win.
Well, yeah, he'll get in at, like, 29. But he'll be entrant number 23, like, sitting there having a soda, just like this. I'm just getting a water break. It's cool, guys. And just get in at 29.
No, he's not going to be sitting drinking a soda. He's going to be staying at ringside, hopping around.
for 8 minutes just doing that.
Yes. Precisely.
Now, the most shocking thing I think we can agree on Raw was that the Big Show ruined a segment. The second most shocking thing, certainly, is that John Cena called into question someone's manhood on the show.
Yeah.
So, of course, Del Rio, even though he's been defeating people, he beat Cena completely cleanly. Why is he a target for the whole manhood questioning tactics? It doesn't seem that fair.
Because it seems to be that's what a face does when a heel's backing down. Oh, you're going to say no? Okay, well, your manhood is very small. You should get it bigger. And then that makes them angry.
Even though the commentators generally acknowledge on every show that it's a trick that John Cena is using to try and get people angry so they accept his challenge... I'm sure the wrestlers go and watch the shows afterwards. They would notice a pattern in John Cena promos when he wants a match with you and he hasn't really earned one yet. Usually...
Start talking about your package.
Yeah, until you accept it. You're not a real man unless you accept John Cena's challenge. Those are words that haunted CM Punk, I'm pretty sure. After he'd cleanly defeated John Cena, well, you're not a real man until you beat John Cena again.
Oh, shit.
Now, it would be fair to point out that when CM Punk cleanly defeated John Cena the first time, it was after a distraction from Vince McMahon.
And technically those distractions could have worked in either man's favor.
Yes, the distraction happened to work in Punk's favor, even though it was intended to benefit John Cena.
I wouldn't say that it's delegitimized the win too much.
Oh, I agree. But their second match, the one on Raw, which was a very good match, was just completely clean, no distractions whatsoever.
And then in future matches, whenever Punk was going to get the upper hand, then generally it was very unclean, and then Cena just beat him.
Just because. Why not?
So it goes. If Cena puts anyone over cleanly... he is generally going to be winning the next 4 to 5 matches in the feud, usually.
Did John Cena and Daniel Bryan ever have a second match?
I don't think so, because Cena immediately took off for surgery, and then by the time he was in a position to challenge again, I think Bryan was already injured.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back, they were with different mid-card titles, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, maybe we can look forward to John Cena defeating Daniel Bryan at some point in the future. Now, do we think that revealing the US title being on the line for the main event partway through the show, or even really towards the end of the show, was a bit of a blunder?
I did not notice that happening.
Because they didn't advertise the fact that it was going to be for the title, did they?
They did not. Jabba, when did they say that the match would be for the title?
Wasn't it right before?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, when Del Rio came out. So do you think it was a mistake doing that and not letting people know earlier that there was going to be a title match later on in the show?
So, I mean, on one hand, if they announced the title match ahead of time, then it could create the effect where... the effect where people just assume that because we have this, you know, title match in the with Del Rio and John Cena as the main event of Raw, of course it's just going to end in you know, just random disqualification. No way Cena's going to actually, you know, walk out with the title. But the way they did it with Del Rio angrily putting the title on the line and sending the League of Nations to the back, then it could potentially create some sort of moment where people tell their friends to tune in because, hey, the title's on the line for John Cena and Del Rio.
It could, Michael. But if you open the show by saying John Cena will be challenging Alberto Del Rio for the United States Championship in a no disqualification match, but the League of Nations will be banned from ringside, something along those lines, you could create the same effect. But you could also do it in time to let people know that it's worth sticking around for.
Actually, in general, of the things described, having a no disqualification match with the League of Nations banned from ringside seems like a very interesting thing to do, and I would like that. In fact, let's do that at the Rumble.
What would be the punishment for them interfering in the match?
If they interfere in the match, then Del Rio will be stripped of the title.
Okay, then. Somebody comes out in a big Rusev bodysuit and interferes in the match. There's your angle.
Exactly. What will happen is, just like every time they have that kind of stipulation, where someone will run out and interfere and then join the League of Nations right after.
Who would it be, though? Who is foreign?
It doesn't have to be foreign. There's not yet someone from the U.S.
Yeah, but they said they couldn't find anyone in the U.S. who was worthy.
So...
It could be Cesaro.
I think Cesaro is still out.
I know, but he could be acting as like a manager for them while he's out.
Do they have anyone? Do they have a Canadian in the group yet?
They don't. The only person.
Tyler Breeze.
There's Kevin Owens, but he works on his own, really, doesn't he?
If they have any desire to have a heel Sami Zayn, that could be an opportunity.
Kalisto.
Adam Rose. He would actually fit right in. He's probably more of a threat than the rest of them right now.
Because
he hasn't been crushed recently.
Yeah, just have Leo Kruger join the League of Nations. I'd be up for that.
Did you notice that the, whatever it's called, the Rose Bush wasn't on Raw this week either?
Oh, it wasn't. Yay.
Do you think they've given up on that already?
I hope.
Let's see. I'm looking at who all could literally just join.
Hmm. I'm sure they could do it.
Becky Lynch, they could have a female member.
They could. But they already have a representative from Ireland.
Yeah, you didn't think that one through, did you, Zevon?
No, it was just the first person that I saw that was that wasn't from the US. Okay. Diego.
Yeah, there you go. Diego.
Yes, clearly they need to add Un Matador.
Or they could just, yeah, if they add El Torito to the League of Nations.
We didn't have an animal in the group.
I wouldn't mind that, actually. I think that could be fun. So, speaking of the League of Nations, it's safe to say that they are chumps.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Are they a threat to anyone? Will they ever be a threat to anyone?
They are a threat to people. They beat people up backstage. They prevent their members from losing titles via interference. Like, they are doing standard heel stable things.
Yeah.
But then they get beaten up a lot, still. They don't really seem to end a show with the upper hand, ever.
They do sometimes, but like, when they are involved with strong faces in an even match, they lose. When they are able to do heelish numbers tactics, they win. That's how this is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like being part of the League of Nations actually makes you weaker. It's something to do with the whole hit points thing, and then when you have more people together, their hit points go down.
But they're stronger as a whole.
Questionable. They didn't manage to keep Sheamus' title on him for very long, did they?
No. That was a distinct weakness of the group.
Yeah, and did you notice that when Del Rio said, "The champ is here," and then Sheamus was like smiling and laughing, and inside he must have just been crying Irish tears.
Oh God, no.
On the subject of of Roman Reigns and the League of Nations, how about that spear to Rusev?
Yeah, spearing from a slightly elevated height.
A jumping spear into a jumping Rusev.
Yeah, do you think this is going to lead to them like eventually jumping like between skyscrapers, spearing each other? Or spearing Rusev from some incredibly tall thing? When was the last time he speared anyone from a ladder? Edge did that spear to someone, one of the Hardys, who was dangling from a ladder.
Yeah, that dangling from the titles.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Reigns could do something like that. If they want to keep making the spear more and more amazing.
Mm-hmm. But he's going to do something like actually break his neck doing it, though. That's the problem. He's not a good enough wrestler to pull it off.
Roman Reigns is rather good at doing those big moves like the spear.
He's not edge good as far in the ring. I don't think that would be a risk they'd be willing to take.
Here's one for you. What is the most dangerous move that could be followed up immediately with a spear?
A springboard stunner.
I don't think the spear element of it actually adds any danger to it. I think all the danger is in just breaking your neck on John Cena.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about a move that gets followed up, like a move Reigns could do, and then do a spear afterwards.
I'm talking about like a triple threat match where someone would do a move and it would leave someone in the perfect position to be speared.
Then yeah, actually a springboard stunner, because that someone like stumbles back and turns around into a spear.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta look at all the top guys like finishing maneuvers right now. You got Sheamus, which is just a kick to the face, so you'd be down. You got Brock Lesnar, which you'd be literally hoisting someone all the way over your head until they slammed to the ground. That wouldn't work. Kevin Owens, a pop-up powerbomb.
I suppose it could be dangerous and cool-looking if someone was went into the pop-up powerbomb and, like,
jumped
over Owens to get out of it and get into the spear. I want to see that now.
What about Kevin Owens does the pop-up powerbomb while being speared?
So who? Does the person get powerbombed on the reins and everybody's out?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that would be like when Lesnar had Rollins up for the F5 and then Lesnar got speared before doing the move.
Except the powerbomb would actually take place. It would just be directly onto Roman Reigns.
It's like the move where two people go for like a clothesline and both people go down, except for with finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could see that on the announce table. How about that?
Jeez.
let's do it. So before we move on to our NXT talking points of the week, any lines of commentary or crowd chants you would like to draw attention to?
I have one thing to that I want to actually discuss. What the fuck was up with the Brooklyn crowd chanting boring?
I think they were just being rebellious.
Like, that Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks match did absolutely not deserve a boring chant.
I will say it's more the fact that I could see the way they wrote it, because they were also the same crowd that gave the Sasha Banks-Bailey match literally a standing ovation for minutes after the whole thing happened. So I think they're more talking about the fact that they're just like, oh, they're just going to put them in a match now. No point.
But it was a good match that lasted, as you said, like 20 minutes.
I think doing the chant during a rest hold, I'm not sure whether that should let them off the hook a little bit.
I don't think so. It was a good match.
It was, and they got into it by the end, definitely, because it was a very, very solid ending to that match.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd in general, they were a little bit weird. There were a few, obviously because they're rebels and they're edgy, they were like out-of-context CM Punk chants that weren't really warranted. I mean, if you're going to direct those at anyone, do it at people who you could argue were responsible for his exit, maybe like Triple H. Because I think they were doing it to Vince, which doesn't make sense because he was always the one that was on good terms with Punk, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. So that seemed a bit silly. And what other chants did they have?
At NXT during the Fatal 4-Way, the crowd was chanting while Chad Gable was in trouble, "Save the Gable! Save the Gable!"
That was a lot of fun.
There was also, I believe, Jabba, some song that the crowd was chanting Gable and Jordan to.
There were a lot of songs that they were chanting Gable and Jordan along to.
Let's see, the one that you leaned to was called No Limit?
Yes.
Is it common in soccer ball games to do chants to that tune?
It is, usually with players' names. Okay. So it makes sense. And there were a few other songs that it seemed like they were trying to get started, but they didn't really catch on throughout the show. That I just heard maybe one line, and then they gave up and thought, no, actually, that's not very good. Let's try a different one. So it makes a nice change, though, to hear different chants instead of just, let's go this guy, let's go that guy, or let's go this guy, Cena sucks, even if he's not involved.
Let's go Bailey, Cena sucks.
Yeah, a bit more of a musical crowd is welcome.
Yeah, you in your country, you are much more adept at such chants.
Yes. So I have a line of commentary. It's, I suppose you could take it the wrong way and take it kind of funny on its own, but it's funnier in the context of the show because Michael Cole said, "Cena's measuring his man." Now you could think, ha ha, tee hee 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 hee, John Cena's over there in the corner measuring his man, thinks no one can see him. But really, it's funny because...
In fact, he says it all the time.
Yeah, John Cena is constantly measuring his man and comparing it to yours, if you're his opponent.
Yes.
If he thinks your man comes up short, then he'll let you know. Although he won't compare it to some kind of food item, like Roman Reigns.
No. Different gimmicks.
Yes. Very, very different. Spawned from the same mind, no doubt. And that was all I had, because the commentary just seemed a little bit in the background. It didn't really catch my ear this week.
Alright, shall we move on to NXT?
We shall. So, I think, as far as Jordan Gable go,
awesome.
It's time. The iron is hot. It's time to strike.
Yes.
Agreed.
They should definitely have a title match, which they win at the next TakeOver.
Should they have a title match before that they get screwed out of, though?
Ooh, maybe.
Can I say something?
Yes.
That would be a hell of a surprise entrance to the Royal Rumble. Like, think of it this way. Say, like, out of nowhere, like, one of the entrants doesn't show up, right? So the next time everything comes out, the two of them go in the ring and just start destroying everything as a team.
Where is the Royal Rumble this year?
The Royal Rumble is in...
Because that would determine how over something like that would be.
Royal Rumble is in Orlando.
Jesus Christ, that would be perfect.
Yeah, if you were picking like five places for NXT guys to come out in the Royal Rumble, that would
anywhere
be,
in Florida is probably at the top of that
probably,
list.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, honestly, I think they're so good in the ring. And don't get me wrong, they're not the greatest on the mic. I mean, obviously, Gable being the one of the two of them that are better as far as like backstage and everything. But I guarantee you, if you had them go on like a tear in the middle of the Rumble, they could just stay on the main roster. They don't need the titles. There's a couple of teams. I don't think Enzo and Cass need it, really, to be honest with you.
I would also, it would also be interesting if at an NXT in, I don't know, maybe a few weeks from now, they get a title match and they just win.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, they don't need the build-up anymore. They can be the team that pulls off that surprising upset, like, you haven't defended your title in so many days. I'm going to, the next person I see, you're going to defend it against since then.
Can you imagine a goofy champion versus champion feud between The New Day and Jordan Gable?
Oh God, that would be amazing.
Okay, so the NXT before the Rumble, Jordan and Gable, let's just combine these. They win the titles that Wednesday leading up to the Rumble, and then a few days later, they're in the Rumble. And the New Day and the and Jordan Gable will have a confrontation in the Rumble.
Okay, quick question. Who would then, because it'd be 3-on-2, who would come out to help Jordan and Gable? Another NXT guy like Sami Zayn?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that Jordan Gable, this could happen with only two members of the New Day in the ring, for instance.
Yeah.
You could always just have Woods on the outside with the trombone at that point. Not actually part of the match.
See, I would
enjoy that if Xavier Woods came out with, like, say, with Kofi, and then didn't leave until both Big E and Kofi were eliminated.
Now, on the subject of Jordan and Gable, it's nice that Jason Jordan isn't being neglected by the crowd, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? It's not just 100% Gable.
Yeah. Well, he's always been good in the ring. It's just he's never had anyone to feed off of, I think, like he has now.
I would say that the Suplex City chant that Jason Jordan got was the most deserving instance of someone other than Brock Lesnar getting that chant.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
I think he's definitely benefiting from feeding off the Gable-like energy.
Mm-hmm.
His tag team partner, certainly. Because I remember Jordan, he used to be just kind of a non-entity, didn't he? He didn't really seem to have anything going for him. The same place that Blake and Murphy are in, sadly.
Yeah.
Just not very exciting. So, the Drifter, Elias Samson. Now, from all these vignettes that were playing recently, I didn't realize it was him. Did anyone else?
I thought he's had this gimmick for a bit.
Has he?
He has. He when I went and saw them live, he was already doing it in dark matches, but... Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't remember him doing this on TV before, but...
Okay.
It's something. It's sad that it was at the expense of Bull Dempsey, who mm-hmm. they seem to have given up on again.
That's sad.
Poor Bull Dempsey.
Bull Dempsey cannot get a push that lasts more than 3 weeks.
No, they changed his music, and it's not quite as catchy anymore.
Stupid.
Yeah, he's now happy and slapping hands with the fans and just being the lovable fat loser right now. And I don't think that's going to get him over. Do you?
I mean, he's already over.
Well, he's over-ish. I think he could have been more over by now if he was handled.
He's over in popularity, not over in terms of where he is on the card.
Fair enough. But what do you think about Elias Samson? Then, do you think he's got potential with this gimmick? I mean, it was a bit weird that he started playing his guitar, but you couldn't really hear it.
I don't know. I think I'm going to like this more once he hits someone over the head with his guitar.
It's something that could happen. What about?
It'd be kind of cool if they had like a tease of him doing it. Sorry, it just literally came to me. He kept, thinking he was going to do it, but couldn't break his guitar. So it was, like, a tipping point for him.
good old acoustic equalizer. It would be more interesting to me if he actually came up with a little song and played the guitar at the end of each match about his opponents. Like, with a
microphone
and everything. Yeah.
So, so on this note, I do miss Aiden English's singing.
Yes, we need more music from our wrestlers, don't we?
And on the subject of Aiden English, when the Vaudevillains came out and they were dressed as Sherlock Holmes and the Fourth Doctor, the announcers thought that he was Watson rather than the Doctor.
Oh dear.
Who would have thought they would?
Don't really remember Watson carrying around a sonic screwdriver.
You would have thought Byron Saxton would have picked up on it at least.
Yeah, he's the nerd of the group, right?
Maybe there wasn't enough Harry Potter content in there.
Was Saxton there live, though?
I thought Saxton was one of the announcers for NXT.
I'm not sure. But isn't it because he was doing Raw? I didn't think he was there.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. I wasn't really paying that much attention. So, obviously the big news is that Sami Zayn returned to the ring, taking on the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
I actually like him. Sorry. I see potential there.
Ty Dillinger's great.
Well, no, just like with his character. With given a push and a cocky attitude, I also think Ty Dillinger would have been good with, like, Gable. Sorry, random thing.
Do you think it's really weird that Sami Zayn wasn't beaten senseless by somebody after his moment of triumph, like he usually is?
I think it is fine to give Sami Zayn a moment.
Yeah, just give him a moment. Wait until at least next week to have, like, Samoa Joe or Baron Corbin come out and just flatten him. At least a week.
Samoa Corbin.
So it doesn't look like he's lost anything in the ring from his injuries. He was throwing his shoulders around in his usual very aggressive manner, without doing wrestling moves, the same way he actually injured it before his match against John Cena. He was doing that exact thing. So there's obviously nothing wrong with those joints, which is a good sign. Hopefully he doesn't develop the Randy Orton syndrome, where you really have to rein in any kind of shoulder-based gesturing that you do.
Yeah.
That would be bad. So, 7 months off, and he came back on NXT, not the main roster. Some people were speculating that maybe he would make a Royal Rumble appearance. He still can do that, but it just wouldn't be his comeback appearance anymore.
I think that it is totally acceptable for Sami Zayn to go get a hero's return in NXT and then go up to the main roster a month later.
That'll be fair enough. Do you think he's going to have some matches down there first that we would be interested in, like dream matches against the likes of Balor, Samoa Joe?
I think we could potentially have both of those before the Rumble.
I would actually like that not to happen so that it could happen on the main roster.
Ooh.
The problem is, when people get to the main roster, it's like a minefield. You don't know what could happen up there. All these NXT guys, they're just walking across no man's land, basically. You can say to them as soon as you step out of the trench, look, when we get to the other side, we're going to have a great series of matches. And then you're halfway to the other side, and you look, and there's just a crater and a pair of boots with Samoa Joe written on them. So it's a bit of a risk waiting until the main roster to do something. I think we've got to get something out of him while he's down there in NXT. A couple of those dream matches, then send him up, and then even if it goes wrong for somebody and they can't meet up on the other side, at least we got it down in NXT.
I just don't think they'll have the time to get him in and get him done properly.
I feel like we will get some sort of NXT call-up at the Rumble.
We usually get at least one or two.
Like, wasn't it 2 years ago that Rusev made a surprise entrance in the Rumble?
Yes. And then, who was it last year? Was anyone from NXT surprise entrant in the last Rumble?
I'm going to look at the list for last year's Rumble match.
The prime time for people getting called up to the main roster tends to be the night after WrestleMania, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see. For last year's Rumble, the surprise entrants were Bubba Ray Dudley, The Boogeyman.
Jesus Christ.
Diamond Dallas Page. I think that might be it.
Those were the only bright spots of an otherwise very depressing Royal Rumble.
Yeah, remember how pissed off we were after that show? That was bad.
Two Royal Rumbles in a row that have been terrible. I'm sure as we get closer to it, we'll be able to sink our teeth into the juicy debate of whether they can turn it round this year, or whether they're going for three strikes of terrible Royal Rumbles and you're out, effectively. But I think we've got too little information to go on right now. All we know so far is that Big Show is coming in at number one and Ryback doesn't like him. And John Cena's back. So.
That means he's coming in at 30.
You can never count out Jerry.
Alright, so is it time to lounge back?
I believe it is time for you to take up a
comfortably do one of these.
Yeah, well, we could all start lounging, actually, for the social media lounge, but really, the only one who actually is in the social media lounge for real is, of course, Mr. Poit, because the social media lounge is his bedroom.
I'm totally going to send you, like, umbrellas to have in a drink when you go into the lounge, just so you can pull up a drink with an umbrella.
Wonderful. Now, as ever and always, when we enter the social media lounge, I would like to do a quick shout-out to our friends over at the Game Buoy video game podcast, your stop for left of center gaming news and views. We also invite you to give us your thoughts, suggest talking points of your own, and tell us what you thought of the week in wrestling by posting comments on this video, by tweeting at us at Tables Ladders, or by replying to our posts on Facebook. We also ask that you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and share our posts, rate us and subscribe on iTunes, and shop on Amazon.com using our affiliate link. All of these links can be found on our Podbean page, tablesladderspodcast.podbean.com.
Well, we made it through the show without being arrested, so it was a waste of time dispatching Nowhere Man out across the United States to various police precincts. So,
do you remember where he went?
No.
Well, we should hopefully find him before next week.
Somewhere, man. And on that note, all that remains to be said is TLP, everybody.
TLP, everybody.
TLP, everybody.
And a happy new year.
Nah.
We're gonna talk about this week in wrestling, 'cause it was terrible unless it was great. This is Tables, Ladders, and Podcast. It's TLP.